Composer Alexandre Desplat has worked with director Wes Anderson many times, and he spoke with Variety's Michaela Zee about their most recent collaboration. Zee writes, "Composer Alexandre Desplat plays Happy Birthday to You on his keyboard, but with a twist. The final note on You is higher than in the traditional melody. It's Igor Stravinsky's Greeting Prelude, a serial variation of the familiar tune composed in 1955 for the 80th birthday of French conductor Pierre Monteux. This inventive transformation by the Russian composer inspired Desplat to, as he puts it, bend a piece from Stravinsky's ballet The Firebird for the score of Wes Anderson's The Phoenician Scheme. The seed of the score comes from a piece by Stravinsky, and there's this little short melody that I've used and twisted and expanded, Desplat tells Variety. When I started playing with that, I thought about what Stravinsky had done and tried to stay in Stravinsky's world. Desplat taps out a brief melody on his keyboard, a leitmotif that was destined to become the musical anchor of Anderson's latest film. The story follows business magnate Jean-Jacques Corda as he embarks on an ambitious venture with his estranged daughter, a nun named Liesel, and to her entomology tutor, Bjorn. Variations of that leitmotif, derived from the Firebird, play over the transition cards, showcasing the destinations the trio travel to, as they scramble to cover a funding gap for Korda's sprawling infrastructure project. Stravinsky's influence resonates beyond the score. The Phoenician Scheme features several works by the Russian composer, including the apotheosis from his ballet Apollon Mousajet during the opening credits. Music by other classical giants, Bach and Beethoven, can also be heard, alongside jazz arrangements by Gene Krupa, Jerry Mulligan, and Glenn Miller. Desplat aimed to slalom around those classical and jazz pieces when writing the score. There are too many things happening, and I just can't musically link them, he explains. So I have to avoid them and let them play, and then find a flourish of mine and another. These songs, these pieces keep going along, and I just jump around. This musical maneuvering is especially noticeable, Desplat points out, because the only music the characters hear comes directly from tracks by the other artists, played through radios, bands, and turntables visible on the screen. In this early shot, this turntable is playing the Firebird, and so it created what we call diegetic music, which is in the film, and non-diegetic music, which is the score itself, and they become completely connected, Desplat says. The music goes in and out of the image. Despite the film's eclectic cast, Desplat chose not to compose distinct themes for individual characters. Instead, he focused on crafting melodies that enrich the film's overall atmosphere. It would be a Rubik's Cube to give colors to every character, he admits. Desplat has been a longtime collaborator of Wes Anderson's, first working with the visionary auteur on a 2009 stop-motion comedy. Since Fantastic Mr. Fox, we have this kind of little toolbox that we keep nearby. The glockenspiel, the choir, the mandolin, the banjo, recorders, and they're sitting there. And we try to find something new, Desplat says. But at times, we pick one tool from the box that belongs to the previous movies, and we inject it into the scope. In the case of the Phoenician Scheme, they pulled drums and piano from the toolbox. When asked how he would define the Wes Anderson sound, Desplat describes it as accessible, simple but not simplistic, unashamedly melodic, obsessively repetitive, and an extravaganza of sounds. That sensibility carries through in the Phoenician Scheme, which retains the signature whimsy and eccentric charm of Desplat's earlier collaborations with Anderson. Yet to the composer, this score stands apart in one notable way. Stravinsky became the core. That from an interview with award-winning composer Alexandre Desplat, speaking to Variety's Michaela Z. From Stravinsky, Bach et al. In the score of the Phoenician Scheme, to the sounds of the Buena Vista Social Club and songs by the American indie pop band Japanese Breakfast, these are just some of the wide-ranging sounds in movies featured during the Summerfest 2025 at the Dietrich Theater in Tunkhannock, opening this Friday. Ronnie Harvey is general manager and film booker at the Dietrich, and he stopped in yesterday at the WVIA Benko studio to talk with us about the festival. Is there anything that distinguishes summer at the movies for you when you're making choices?
Well, you know, in summertime, for the regular films, it's all about the kids' movies and the superheroes and the action-adventure movies. And there really is nothing for the discerning adult. And that's why we really latched onto the idea of doing these film festivals once a season, because that seemed to be lacking, and all the adults that we would see throughout the rest of the time of the year were missing. And I wanted to make sure that they also had something. And when you dive deep, there is always something in the marketplace for those discerning adults, as long as you look for it.
And you have to keep up in advance. It's not just that you can say, well, the film festival is going to be in July, so in May you're going to start looking. That's not how it works for you, is it?
No, I've gotten to the point now where the week that a film festival opens, I am sending off my first draft for the next one, just so that I'm ahead of the mark, because there's, you know, all things that go into it. There's the planning for the sponsors. There's the planning for the opening nights and the food that's going to be there. And the films, sometimes the release dates shift and change. So you've got to make sure that you peg stuff down well in advance.
Do you still work with the fellow whom you've been working with over the years?
Yes, Jeffrey Jacobs still works out of New York City, and he is phenomenal at telling me, hey, this one is not for your audience. This was for a New York audience. Because sometimes there are a few films that just wouldn't translate as well. But he's great at really weeding down that list. Because I usually send him a list of like, here's 40, 50. Tell me what you got.
And you are seeing trailers yourself. You're reading reviews and so forth. But many times you can't see the whole films before you send him that list.
No. It really is an intuitive thing for me at this point. I am just looking at what is in the marketplace and going, will this be something that speaks to our audience that consistently comes to film festivals? And 9 times out of 10, I think I got it.
How long have you been doing it, Ronnie?
I cannot even tell you now at this point when it first started, because I was working with Hildy in the beginning. It wasn't necessarily that I was doing it, but I was, you know, advising. I was being a younger voice that was also kind of in the know at the time, trying to add some more youthful vigor to it, or some more audience, a different audience, bringing a different audience in. And so it just kind of transitioned into the role.
Over a decade?
Over a decade.
It's also a tradition when you come, Ronnie, to tell us about the films in the festival, that your gut tells you, let's pick these films, but you're not always saying, because I see a thread running through them at the time you make the choices.
There's actually something a little different in this festival that I noticed ahead of time. Studios sometimes are thinking alike. And sometimes there are movies that come out that seem like they're the same movie. And we have that twice in this festival alone. We're only talking about 18 movies, but we have two times where two films seem very similar to each other. Bad Shabbos, which is a story of a family getting together for their Shabbos dinner and an unexpected guest arrives. Something very bad happens and then a cover-up happens. And it's like this like funny, darkly funny story about how you handle this unlikely group of people together in a uncomfortable situation. We have another film and film festival called The Trouble with Jessica. And tell me if this sounds familiar. It's a group of people getting together for dinner and an unexpected guest arrives and something happens and then they're all pointing fingers at each other and there are all these different characters that are involved in the interplay. So two films, two dealing with very similar intertwining character dynamics at a dinner. And then the second instance, we have a film called A Nice Indian Boy. And it is about a young man, a young gay man, who's fallen in love with a young white man. And he's introducing him to his family for the first time. And unbeknownst to the family, because the white man was adopted by an Indian family, so they believe he's another, and so he arrives on the doorstep, and it's the family trying to understand, trying to get involved, trying to change their ways, and come together for a big, beautiful Indian wedding. A second film, The Wedding Banquet, is about roommates, two male and two female roommates. They are both couples. It is an Asian story, and it is about a young man trying to figure out how to tell his grandmother that he's gay. And so in the meantime, he pretends to be in a relationship with one of the other women, and in the process, she decides to come over from to help with the wedding process. And so you've got these dynamics. That's a remake from a film, I think, early 90s. But do those sound kind of familiar? But from two different perspectives. But from, you know, perspectives of the world. And I just found it so ironic that studios at the same time are releasing films that have similar threads and dynamics within them.
You have in the past notice themes and suggest that filmmakers and studios are releasing films that happen to treat similar issues, but not like this.
Yeah, not almost carbon copying the same thought process down on paper. And so, you know, sometimes that does happen even in regular movie going. I can't think of an example off the top of my head now, but there have been. Oh, there was a moment where there was two films that came out, White House Down, I believe, and another one, I can't remember what the title of that was, but they came out within months of each other. And they had the similar plot, president, espionage, like that kind of thing. And they were kind of comedies, but they were action comedies. They came out within months of each other. So this happens not just in the independent world. It happens quite often.
Beside the Bobbsey twins, is there a kind of thread or a theme?
Well, I've thought about it, and I've looked at these films as a little more quiet and personal films. Usually there's a heavier topic or there's something that they're trying to tell the audience, but I feel like these are more personal stories within this. I mean, we have Friendship, which is another dark comic film, but it's about this man who doesn't have any other male friends. And it's about the story of how it's hard for men to make friends with men and how he finally meets another male friend and he gets integrated into a group. And then they're like, we don't want you in the group. And so I think it's kind of a look at the male loneliness and not having somebody, because I don't know if you know, but I feel like that is the case. Women have their girlfriends. That's always been a thing. And I feel like men lack that. They get attached to in a relationship and that's kind of it. So that's an interesting, it's a darkly comic take on it. The Life of Chuck, which was a short story written by Stephen King, of all people, has been heralded as It's a Wonderful Life for a New Generation. That's big, big talk. It's a story about how a man who I don't want to give too much away, but it tells the story in reverse. The story of Chuck's life in reverse. And all of the people he meets along the way and how they changed and transformed him and gave him life. The life of Chuck. I feel like these movies are telling quieter, more intimate stories as versus like the last festival where we were dealing with very heavy topics of war and, you know, conflict. This one seems like it's pulled itself in.
What about Jane Austen? Is that an example of that kind of film?
Yes. So Jane Austen wrecked my life. We just recently had a little Jane Austen festival where we showed some Jane Austen films. And I was like, I wish this came out right around the same time so I could have thrown this in. But it is about a woman who works in a bookstore and she has read all of the classics. And she believes that because of reading these Jane Austen novels, she's never going to find the Mr. Darcy, the perfect man. And she feels like if it wasn't for Jane Austen, her life would be not wrecked. And then, of course, the quote-unquote Mr. Darcy might just arrive and her having to try to navigate those waters and figure out what she really wants.
I keep seeing materialists mentioned in film articles.
Yes. So Materialist is written by Celine Song. She wrote Past Lives, which won, I believe, Best Screenplay at the Academy Awards, maybe last year or the year before. But it stars Pedro Pascal, who's very hot right now, Chris Evans, Captain America, and Dakota Johnson. And she is a relationship. She brings people together. Matchmaker, there's the word. And she's a matchmaker. And she herself does not have someone. And so she has all this success. And she meets Pedro Pascal, which on paper is the perfect guy. He's got the money, he's got the looks, he's got it all. And then she runs into her ex, who doesn't have the money, who doesn't have it all together, but is the guy that has her heart. And it's the story of her trying to figure out where to go, who to pick. She can match for other people, but can she match for herself?
Ronnie, there's all this nice, quiet intimacy in the films you've been telling us about. And then you bring us Cheech and Chong. Where does that come from?
Well, speaking of friendships, Cheech and Chong's last movie is a little bit mockumentary style. It shows Cheech and Chong on a road trip together. And as they're on the road trip, they're reminiscing about their careers and their pasts. And so it's kind of, you get the documentary, the story of them and how they rose to fame. What helped them rise to fame? I think a certain generation will know exactly what we're talking about. And then the ultimate breakup of their friendship and how their partnership eroded along the way and how even though you might not see somebody for a long time or necessarily have that exact same friendship, there's still something inside of you connected to them and how they're coming together for one last ride. I'll say ride.
That sounds again like
intimate. There's something intimate about these movies. It's not I don't want to say not grandiose, but they're all insular and thought-provoking, and they bring you close to someone. There's a closeness about this festival.
How have you structured the opening night program?
So we've decided for winter and summer from now on that instead of doing our opening night gala festivities for those, because they were always smaller events for this winter, we are encouraging people to go to local restaurants and make their own gala because we feel like the local restaurants also need to benefit from this. So we have Materialists is the first movie, followed by Friendship. So if you plan on coming for opening night, there's no need to get any advance tickets or any kind of whatever. Just go out to a nice dinner and then come see us. See one, see two, see all.
What's this from the archives?
Yes, so we did have add something special into this one where we put two films from the archives. So Buena Vista Social Club is very popular right now This is the documentary that led to the popular Broadway musical that's on Broadway right now. And so we wanted to bring it back. Why not? We want to be able to show classics are something that we're really trying to find that niche audience for right now. We think we got it with the regular movies. We've got it with the independent movies. And now we're trying to eke our way into some of these classics. Another one that we're doing, which is not in this festival, but I'll plug it a little bit, is this week during festival. Not only can you go to festival, you could stop by to see One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest for its 50th anniversary. We have 2 days that we're showing it. And if you happen to be by on the Saturday during festival, the 19th, we have River Day. So you can go have a day on the river and then get out of the heat and come watch a movie.
So we find everything in this wonderful, we call it a roadmap, but this is available, all the listings online as well.
Yes, you can go to DietrichTheater.com and just search under Film Festival and you'll find all the showtimes, all the information about what the movies are about and go from there.
Ronnie Harvey, General Manager and Film Booker at the Dietrich Theater in Tunkhannock in Wyoming County, speaking with us about Summerfest 2025. 18 films screened in 21 days, including the Buena Vista Social Club. The festival opens this Friday, July 11th, with two films. It's the opening night special. 7 o'clock, it's Materialists, and then 9:30, Friendship. And then it's full tilt from Saturday, July 12th, right through July 31st. Again, 18 films to be screened in 21 days. Each film has a number of different days and times, so if you can't attend a screening of the Materialists film on Friday, July 11th, you'll have many other chances to see it throughout the festival. The Dietrich Theater is located in downtown Tunkhannock at 60 East Tioga Street, and as Ronnie told us, the website is DietrichTheater.com. DietrichTheater.com, DietrichTheater, theater ends in ER, DietrichTheater.com, the theater at 60 East Tioga Street in downtown Tunkhannock in Wyoming County, and the festival opens this Friday, July 11th, with two films, Materialists at 7 and Friendship at 9:30, and then we'll continue with 18 films mixed and changed for 21 days. There is a post-film discussion on Friday, August 1st at 1 o'clock. Admission is free, and if you've seen any or all of the films and you'd like to engage in conversation, relaxed conversation with other film lovers, you can join them and clarify something you didn't understand or celebrate something that you loved. For all the information you need, DietrichTheater.com, DietrichTheater.com.